And the other half will think you had them coming, right? And many of us feel, you know, when trouble enters our lives, that we just had it coming. And we believe this lie that all my problems are caused by my sins. Now, there is a balance here, because some of my problems are caused by my sins. And on your outline, shoot down to number 10. That's point number 10 there. Some of the reasons why problems come into my life is because I have sinned, okay? And I'm not going to go over that verse. We understand it pretty well. I mean, you could end up in jail if you committed a crime. You could end up with a damaged liver if you drank too much alcohol, and on it goes. There are some consequences to our sins, and some of our problems are directly related to them. However, if you believe the lie that all your problems are caused by your sins, then you're going to live under a cloud of false guilt, kind of like the man who had his house struck by lightning and it burned his house to the ground. And his demeanor was, you know, I had it coming. There must be some sin in my life that has brought this on. And he met with a Christian friend and they examined his life thoroughly, and he could not think of an unconfessed sin in his life. And he lived under this cloud of guilt. And you realize if God struck each of us that have sinned with lightning, there wouldn't be a house standing in America, right? I mean, we just all have sinned. But this lie that we look at this morning often leads to other lies, like the lie that God is out to get us, right? God is just watching us like a hawk, waiting for us to step out of line. And as soon as we do, he pounces on us. So many today believe God is really the originator of those lyrics by Sting. You know, every breath we take, every move we make, I'm watching you. You know, and that's not our God. That is not our God. And this morning, I want to go beyond point 10 and give you 9 other biblical reasons for why problems occur in our lives, or for why lightning might just strike your house, okay? And it may not be due to any sin that you've committed. Let me go backwards for a moment. Go to point 9. Another biblical reason for why problems come into my life is this: so that I might see God work. If there were only one passage in all of the Bible that was written to expose this lie, you know, this morning that we're looking at, it would be John chapter 9. I put just 3 verses there under point 9. Let me read it. You follow along. It says this: "And as he passed by," that's Jesus, "as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind?" What an amazing question, isn't it? And it really reflects this lie that we look at. In Jesus' day, the popular thought was that our troubles were caused by some sin. Our calamities, especially suffering like blindness, was due to some sin. That was the thinking of the day. That's the thinking of the disciples here in verse 2. In fact, speaking of thinking, did you hear that one about the guy that was in visiting the doctor and he had inoperable brain cancer? And the doctor comes in, he says, "Listen, fortune has struck upon you today. There's been an accident outside the hospital and a young couple died. And young man, you are now a candidate for a brain transplant and you get to choose which brain you'd like. The man's brain or the wife's brain." The only problem is the man that died, his brain is $10,000. The young woman who died, her brain is $300,000. Which one would you like? And the young man was kind of flabbergasted. He said, "Why is there such a price difference in those two brains?" And the doctor said, "It's because the young woman's brain was used." Right? The thinking of this day was this lie: all of our sins are caused by, or all of our problems are caused by some sin in our life. And in verse 3, look at that. Jesus goes right in and just shatters this lie. He says it was neither this man nor his parents. Gosh, don't you like that? You know, it's so fascinating because the disciples, like the people of his day, asked the wrong question, didn't they? They asked, "Who sinned?" And the question should have been, "Lord, did anyone sin here to bring this on? Lord, is it possible that problems can happen in a life without that person sinning to cause the problem?" You see, that should have been the question. The ones that ask the wrong questions are kind of like the individuals that fish in the bathtub. they ain't going to catch anything, right? That's why we need God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. That's why we need God's book, not man's opinions. We need God's word, not the word of man. And in verse 3, look, he continues, it's neither this man nor his parents. Circle the next word. But it sets up a contrast between man's thinking, God's wisdom. Man's conjectures, God's truth. But it was, and then these are the three words that often indicate reason or purpose. You'll see them throughout our scripture this morning. It was in order that, here's the reason behind this man's problem, this man's dilemma, this man's blindness. It was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. This man's problems were to show the works of God, the power of God, the hand of God. When trials come into your life, when problems come into my life, you know, like we sung, Lord, open my eyes that I might see Jesus, that I might see you doing something in my midst. Sometimes we get our eyes so focused on our problems, we don't see what God is up to around us. And the Bible's clear here that problems come into our lives so that God might work in our midst. His power and his activity will be clearly seen. Some folks got their eyes just so glued on those problems. And it's interesting because God has worked most powerfully and most clearly through the people in the Bible in the lives of those who have had the greatest problems, right? Those who have suffered the most. You think of Job and Daniel and Joseph and Paul, and on it goes. I think of, in 1967, Johnny Erickson Tada, who as a 17-year-old girl jumped into a lake and came out a paraplegic, and you know the story. And this is what she says in her book. What happened on July 30th, 1967, was the beginning of an incredible adventure. Would you call paralysis an incredible adventure? Boy, that would be a tough one, wouldn't it? She goes on, I saw God's amazing work and him in a powerful way day after day, year after year. Whew. And millions have been touched by Johnny. You see, when life delivers its worst to us, God is at his best. And we need to understand that. One of the reasons why we encounter problems and difficulties and hard times is so that we will see God work in our midst. Let's go back up to number one. Let's go back in order here. Here's another biblical reason why problems occur. Point number one, so that I can encourage others who suffer. Look at the verse there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In fact, I'm going to take the first four points all from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Just make a note of that. But these verses here under point one say this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. Now underline the next two words. So that, here comes the purpose, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You see the word affliction there? It simply means trials or pressures. It's like being squeezed in the vise is what that word indicates. Troubles, problems. You know, some of you here this morning have had a child pass away. And I can't tell you how painful that was, how horrible that was, how that still lingers. And even, I hesitate to mention it because it wells up so many emotions in your life. And I know some think, well, you know, I'll call the pastor and I'll talk to him and he'll understand. And you know, I just have to admit to you that I can't understand that one. You know, I've never felt that. I've not had a child pass away on me. And I don't know what that's like. And I can give you biblical truth and biblical perspective, but I can't connect on the feeling level with you. You know what I'm saying? But you know who can connect with you on that one? It's someone that also, a Christian who has also lost a child. And these verses right here tell us that that person can connect with you and encourage you and help you in a way that others may not be able to. Now, if you've ever thought about killing your child, I can relate to that one, okay? But, right? In this passage, there's a double purpose mentioned, all right? There's a double purpose, and that's point two. Problems come so that I can experience God on a deeper level. Look again, it says, blessed be the Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. Isn't that good? You see, when we experience difficulties in life, it is God who is there to comfort and care for us. Remember, a number of weeks ago, we talked about the lie that life should be fair, and we mentioned that day that life and God are not the same. And so you cannot conclude if life is bad, then God is bad. Okay, we said life is unfair. So expect unfair things in life. And when those unfair things come your way, when those troubles and trials come your way, that is where the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort will meet you. That's what it says. About 2 weeks ago, I had this experience. I took my youngest two boys out on a charter boat salmon fishing out of Westport. And we'd been looking forward to that for a long, long time. And we talked about it, and we just looked so forward to it, and I'd never done that before. And I may not ever do that again. Ever. It wasn't 30 minutes out from the dock that I'm going, oh, man, and I'm just feeling really bad. I was just miserable. And I got seasick, and I was sick for the next 6 hours. Oh. And you know, yeah, you laugh because you know what it's like. And some of you, not all of you. You know, in that 6 hour period, though, I got to tell you, I'm experiencing the Lord on a deeper level. I really am, you know? It's like, God, if I throw myself over, will you take me quickly, you know? But, you know, there is something about being in such misery that you forget the unimportant things and you focus in on what's really important, you know? I don't even care anymore if I catch one, you know. I don't care how big it is. I don't care if it's a king or a silver. All I'm doing is going before the Lord, and I'm saying, God, this is great to be here. Thank you for the time. Thank you for the money. Thank you that my boys aren't sick, and they are enjoying this. And we just had a special meeting time there below deck, you know, and it was just experiencing God in a little different way, a little deeper way than had I caught all the fish that I wanted that day, you know. And some of you know the truth of that we meet God on a deeper level when we encounter difficulties. You know, it's really interesting because last weekend on the all-church campout, I got a little motion sick behind the jet skis. You know, while I was holding on to some of the youth drivers, I didn't say anything. I just thought, well, I'll surprise them, you know, if anything comes up. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul is not speaking theoretically, okay? There are a lot of people that can spout off precepts and principles, but they've never lived them out. Paul has lived out what he's teaching. Look under point 3 at those verses. We're still in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Paul says this, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction." There's that word again. It's like being in a vice, the pressure, and it just squeezes you. "Which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively, beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life." Verse 9. "Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves." Boy, Paul really thought inside they were going to die. Their problems and trials and their suffering was so extreme. You talk about problems, Paul had them. Paul does us a favor under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He tells us the purpose behind this series of problems. Look at verse 9. "Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves." Now look at the next three words. "In order that." Here comes the reason these problems came into his life. that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Another reason why problems come into our lives are point three here, so that I will trust God. God places difficult circumstances into our lives because he wants us to learn to trust him. Many of us here today have only learned to trust God through some real gut-wrenching experiences in life, have we not? If things had just gone so smoothly, we would never have been able to trust him through the valleys that he took us through. Some here today have never prayed for safety as they travel in their car until they got in that accident that was life-threatening. And now they pray frequently and just trust God for whatever that he wills. Some have never thanked the Lord for their job or for their income or for the benefits that that brings until they were laid off. And it was being in that unemployment line that brought them to a deeper level of trust in God. And it was only through that hard time. Some never truly appreciated God's sovereignty until they were in the emergency room looking down at their child hovering between life and death. And it was there that they said, God, you are in control of everything, and I will trust you whether my child lives or dies. See, and it's through those hard times that we trust God. And I know some have gone away from God in those hard times. And that's the wrong direction to go. You know, God has brought those into our lives to make us better, not bitter. Humanly speaking, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. But spiritually speaking, when the going gets tough, the tough trust God. That's why he allows these problems and these hard times to come into our lives. And the fourth one is this. Again, we're just going down a few more verses in chapter 1. But let me give you point four. Problems occur in my life so that others will pray for me. You see, in chapter 1, we've already seen several reasons for problems, and Paul has shared about his problems. Now he's going to share with the Christians at the church of Corinth how they helped him in those problems. Look at verse 11 under point 4. He says, you also joining in helping us through your prayers. Isn't that good? One of the reasons why you go through a difficult time is so that other Christians will come alongside of you in prayer and support you. Now, when you take point one here, you know, that problems occur in our life that we might encourage others who are struggling, and point four, problems occur so that others will come alongside of me and pray, you get another insight here, and I didn't list this on your outline, but problems occur in our lives, difficulties come into our lives to pull us together as the body of Christ, as the family of God, not to push us apart. Isn't that good? You see, that's why God does these types of things, to build a family where care and concern just flow as natural as breathing. If you go through a difficult time and you don't tell anyone, you violate this concept. Your trial is to draw the family of God alongside of you, to pray for you and to help you and to minister one to another. But let me say this. I know that some of you in here have gone through a really hard time. You never said word one. And the reason was not that you didn't want support, not that you didn't want prayer, but it was because you feared others would judge you. And they would say, your problem is your fault. They would go right down to number 10 and say, you've sinned somewhere. That's why you're having this happen to you. And so then this mutual care and this pulling together is amputated because of that fear. And so I say to you, overcome that fear, and I say to the rest of us, stop judging others and think you have it figured out, because there are at least 10 reasons why problems come into our lives. 10. And some of us go right to number 10 and say, that's why. And we had better be very careful, because we are not the Holy Spirit on that one. Now, if it's an obvious violation of Scripture, then we can be clear. But if it's not, be very careful. Point number 5. Let me give you one other biblical reason here for why problems occur in our lives. And that is this, so that I will grow spiritually. so that I will grow spiritually. James 1 is a great passage. It says this, consider it all joy. It's right under point 5. Brethren, he's talking to Christians now, when you encounter various trials. We all understand the word trial, right? It's just hardship, difficulty. The word various is a great word. It just means they come in all sizes, all shapes, right? And the question is, how do you get into these difficulties? How do you get into these problems? You see the word encounter there? Encounter means to fall into something completely by surprise. It is out of the blue. It is all of a sudden. There is no understanding of why it came. The word makes it clear that you didn't earn it and you don't deserve it. I mean, you didn't sin, and here's the consequence. That's what this word points to. It's like this. About 2 weeks ago in New Orleans, in the aquarium there, did you read about this? Group of people are walking on the catwalk above the shark tank, getting familiar. All of a sudden, no warning at all, the catwalk collapses. 10 people are splashing around in terror in the shark tank. 4 of them are children. 15 minutes they're in the tank. Fortunately, not a scratch on any of them. But I tell you, here's the shocker, right? Imagine you're on that catwalk. 1 minute, you're just viewing the sharks. Next minute, you're swimming with them. All of a sudden, and they weren't jumping up and down on the catwalk and causing problems. They did nothing to earn it. It's just all of a sudden. That's what this word encounter here means. It just happens. God has allowed this out of the blue. He knew it was coming. We did not. However, the good news is, like everything God does, there's a purpose behind it. Look at verse 3. We learn what the purpose is. Knowing that, circle that word that again, here comes the purpose. The testing of your faith produces endurance. The word testing there means to be refined. It means to mature. It means to grow, to mature in our walk with God. Do you know why God brings problems into your lives? It's not so you just simply show up. It's so that you grow up spiritually, right? Some of us are content with just showing up. God says, would you grow up? And if we don't, guess what? He'll bring difficulties into our lives, not as punishment. They are to sharpen us and to help us mature. And trials will do that. And as we grow stronger spiritually, it creates in us, verse 3 says, this endurance. This endurance, it's this staying power, this overcoming, if you will, is what's intended there. As we mature in the Lord, hard times and problems don't wipe us out. They make us stronger. We overcome them. It's like this. Do you know where the best ER doctors in the world are today? The best emergency room doctors? Well, they are where the most horrific physical injuries are occurring today, okay? Because dealing with those have caused these doctors to become more skilled at dealing with such devastating physical injuries. You know where the best emergency room technology is today? Little tip here, it's not at the dock in the box up Meridian here. You know, it's where the most horrifying physical injuries are occurring today. And do you know what nation that is? It's the nation of Israel and Palestine too, except Palestine doesn't have the resources that Israel does. And because of the bombings and the terrorist acts over the last 24 months in the nation of Israel, those doctors and that technology has zoomed to the forefront. And spiritually speaking, that's what this text is telling us, is that God will bring difficult things into our lives that we will grow. We will become strong Christians. They won't wipe us out. They'll make us walk with God with endurance and perseverance. Another biblical reason why you and I may encounter problems is point 6, so that I may point others to Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2 there, great verse. It says this, Paul the Apostle writes it again. He says, for this reason I endure all things, for the sake of those who are chosen. And then look at the next word, that. Here comes the reason why he endured all things. That they also may obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ. Some of you realize as you've studied your Bible that the Apostle Paul never viewed his pain, never viewed his problems as a tragedy. That wasn't in his vocabulary. He understood they had a purpose. And he understood here, as he writes, that the purpose of a number of the difficulties he was going through had the purpose of bringing people to Christ. It was an amazing understanding. And you know, this point here is partly why the health and wealth teachers dishonor God. Because they teach that God wants you healthy and happy and healed. But Paul is saying those very things that are coming into my life are the things that are bringing people to Christ. And if I were healed from them, how would I bring them to Christ? Do you see that? You know, about 8 years ago, I became aware of a young woman who had a serious cancer. She was a young mother. She had 4 young children. She fought that cancer for 18 months, and then she died an excruciating death, an excruciatingly painful death. Now, several non-Christians that she had come to know watched her during that 8-month struggle with cancer. And they watched how she dealt with it. They watched how she died. And at her funeral, the gospel message was shared, and those non-Christians became Christians at that funeral, and they said this: if she can follow God during such excruciating pain, then that God is worth knowing. That God is worth knowing. Hard times can come into our lives so that others might see the reality of Jesus Christ. So the question would be on this point, very simple. Would you be willing to suffer an excruciating illness or disease for, say, 18 months and then die a painful death to point others to Christ? Because that might be the very purpose why he allows you and I to go through that kind of thing. So that others would see the reality of Christ. It's just not pie in the sky, it's just not words, but we live it out in the most painful crucible that one could imagine. And people say, you know what? There's got to be a reality to that. Well, let me read the next verse before I give you point 7 here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says this, under point 7, and because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, and let me pause there for a minute. Again, Paul is writing this, and he had been given visions and revelations and other extraordinary experiences, and it was pretty heady stuff, and it could make one prideful and arrogant. But let me read on. And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now, some think that was some physical illness or deformity. We're not sure what it really was, but it was a thorn in the flesh. Paul here calls it a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Paul states the purpose behind his problem here of the thorn in the flesh was to keep him from pride, right? Arrogance, exalting himself. In fact, he wants us to know that was the reason. He repeats it twice, doesn't he? Some of the difficulties that God allows into our lives are to keep us from sin. That is point 7. It is to keep us from sin. And some of you say, wow, that's tough. Yeah. But God cares for us. He brings these things into our lives with purpose. And let me give you point 8. God allows problems and hardships and trials into our lives so that I will become more like Christ. Romans 8:28 says this, and some of you know it. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And then verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. Do you know when we most often quote Romans 8:28? It's when something bad happens in our lives, right? I mean, if you were to win $10 million this afternoon, I wouldn't come alongside you and say, you know, hey, all things work together for good. No. Or if you were to win, you know, a 2-week paid vacation, you know, in the Caribbean, I wouldn't quote Romans 8:28 to you. But it includes both good and bad, but we often apply it to the hard things, the difficulties. And because we do that, we understand it's the difficulties that God uses to make us more like Jesus Christ, right? God uses the hard things to make us like Christ. Now, if I had approached our subject this morning from a different direction, if I had said, look at your outline for a minute, if I had said that God wants to bring something into your life, God wants to bring something into your life that will do 9 things for you, and I were to say, to help you really encourage others, to help you experience God on a deeper level, to help you trust God more. It'll cause others to pray for you. It'll develop your spiritual growth. It'll lead others to Christ. This thing that God gives you will keep you from sin. It'll make you more like Jesus, and you will see God work in a powerful way. What would you say? You'd say, bring it on. Let me have it. That's exactly what I'd like to have happen in my life, right? You'd be jumping up and down demanding that whatever this thing is, God give it to you. But because you know that these 9 benefits are all the result of problems and trials and hard things, we're not jumping up and down just yet, are we? And I just want to say we need to adjust our perspective, don't we? We need to make a major adjustment. And that's why James 1, under point 5, look back at that, says, consider it all joy. You see, these things are for our benefit, but the word consider says, meditate on this because it's not going to be easy to really understand it. Consider it. Focus on it. Adjust your perspective and look at what God wants to do in your life. Let's pray together. Father, we want to come before you and say thank you for your powerful work. We want to say thank you that you are willing to even go to some very difficult measures to help us to grow, to love you, and to trust you. And Lord, we do want to say thanks because we know that you are active in our midst. We ask that you would help us to follow you, to love you, to live a life that pleases you. And this morning, Lord, we would ask that you would just help us to adjust our perspective, to understand why maybe some of us are going through some things right now. There are at least 10 reasons that we see in your word to evaluate these hard times. Help us to just have victory. Help us to enjoy you in the midst of these things. Amen.